Welcome to another episode of the Remix My Fitness podcast, where we learn that there is more than one way to train, eat, and live. I'm your host, MC Kim, aka the Kind Intelligent Man, and today we're going to be talking about the live portion of our health. In just a little bit, we're going to hear from sleep expert Veronica Lee from REMRISE, where she will dive into everything that has to do with sleep. So we're talking about all the sleep cycles, some tips on how to get a good night's sleep, and she'll go over some barriers that you might not even think were things that would have to do with getting a good night's sleep. And most of all, she's going to give us this one mindset tip that I have been using since I chatted with her. And I gotta say, it has definitely given me a different outlook into my own sleep and starting my day. But before we get to Veronica, I would love to hear from you. You, the listeners out there, do you struggle to sleep at night? Or are you like me and have a real hard time waking up feeling refreshed in the morning? Because I make some jokes in the podcast today about my sleep, but in reality, I can sleep pretty easy. The issue has always been I struggle to get up feeling good, feeling nice, and ready to start my day. It usually takes like a few hours for me to rev up my engine. So I would love to hear from you guys. Let me know how your sleep is. Hit me in the comments of the show. And while you are there, please subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Of course, you can also hit me up on the social, Insta, Facebook, LinkedIn, all that good stuff. But you guys all know that I like the old school way, which is the email way. So you can definitely hit me up at mckim@remixmyfitness.com and let me know whether you struggle to go to sleep at night or do you have a hard time waking up in the morning? Or maybe it's both. We'd love to know. So, without further ado, here is Veronica Lee. I would like to welcome to the podcast Veronica Lee, the CEO of REMRISE. Veronica, what's going on?
Hey, Jimmy. Great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you as well. Coming all the way from sunny San Francisco, a place I am actually going to be visiting soon. My sister is an architect out in San Diego, and she's just finishing up a museum project over there. So we're all going to go and check that out. And my plans are to come to San Francisco. I've heard so much about it.
Let me know when you're in town. San Diego weather is a little bit nicer than San Francisco.
Oh, is it? Is it? Yeah. Okay, very cool.
It's a little foggy.
I also actually, you know, we were just kind of briefly talking off air, but I kind of congratulate you. I mean, you're not like a new mom, but you are kind of a new mom, only like 4 months in, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, she turned 5 months yesterday.
Oh, great.
So exactly 5 months old.
Yeah. And I see that she went out for her first like kind of trick-or-treating over this past Halloween.
Yeah. First Halloween party.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing.
Up as unicorns.
Yeah. that's great. That's great. You know, being a new mom and, you know, our topic today is everything about sleep. Have you found that you've been able to keep your sleep cycle or has it changed over the last 5 months?
So when she first came out, I didn't sleep at all. Like it was just like,
get out of here. That happens.
So for the first, I would say like month, it was really, really hard because she was literally like just up all the time, feed her every 2 hours. So it was just like constantly getting up. And like what they don't tell you about feeding is that you have to feed and then you have to like burp and then you have to like do all these things. So and then once you're kind of done with that cycle, you're ready to you're onto the next cycle. So you're really not getting much sleep. We were really big on sleep training. As you can imagine, I care deeply about it. So we were pretty aggressive about like trying to get her sleep trained quite early. And we were really lucky that she's just a good sleeper. So by month two, she was actually sleeping through the night.
Amazing.
And so now, I mean, it's not 7 out of 7 days that she's a good sleeper, but I would say 6 out of 7, you know, I'm getting pretty good sleep, I would say, but it's always hard because babies just wake up early. So
for
it's
sure.
Like I'm typically a night owl. I've definitely shifted my schedule So I'm going to bed earlier so that, because she's going to be up at like 6 or 7 no matter what.
Mm-hmm. And this is, I think, probably how like our parents probably transitioned from like, you know, they were probably also night owls and party goers. And then as they get tired and tired, they go to sleep. You know, we brought you on the show because you are a sleep expert. And for yourself, sleep has been a constant issue for you since high school. Then you went into finances and, you know, working probably, I'm going to guess, like late hours.
Oh, yeah. All the time. I was a terrible sleeper.
You know, you and I will have we have the opposite problem, but we'll get into that. I would love to kind of hear your thoughts on that. And you know, like my mom, you know, my mom like leaned a lot on traditional like Asian herbs and things to cure everything. Can be cured by black goop. Right. So is what I used to call it. Smelled so bad and whatever. Right. But she swore.
But it works.
It works. Oh, it worked maybe from like, I was like, make me sleep harder.
Tastes bad.
It tastes terrible.
But it works.
I used to always joke with my sister, like, we'll just tell her we're feeling better so that we don't have to take the medicine, which in fact, I kind of think about it now, I was like, that encouraged us to live like a healthier lifestyle so that we wouldn't have to drink her goop. But
that was her intention all along.
Exactly. You know, a lot of listeners here they work from home, they work out at home, and sleep is on the tip of everybody's mind here. Mm-hmm. Could you enlighten us a little bit on, you know, what I would love to learn more about is like the sleep cycles that happens and kind of like what makes each cycle important?
Yeah, for sure. So there's basically 4 cycles, and then 3 of them are considered the non-REM cycles, and the last one is the REM cycle. And so for the first cycle, it's like the transition state between wakefulness and sleeping, and that's when you're transitioning to falling asleep, and your heart rate starts to slow and everything starts to relax. Then you enter into stage 2, which is light sleep. And essentially, this is the stage that like your body temperature starts to drop, your muscles start to relax, your eye movement starts to stop. And then you'll go into deep sleep, which is basically like the deepest form of sleep, where this is the most critical for restorative sleep. So allowing muscles to relax, to restore, and for, you know, the fitness folks out there, like this is the most important stage for your body to recover, especially after workouts and whatnot, and your body muscles, tissues to repair. And this is the stage that is because you're in the deepest form of sleep, it's the hardest to wake you up during this stage. And then the last cycle is REM, which is rapid eye movement. And so this is the most critical stage for your cognitive ability. So when you think about memory, learning, creativity, it's all getting restored during this cycle. And because it's called rapid eye movement, this is usually when your brain activity starts to, there's an uptick in brain activity, and your eyes, when you're watching somebody sleep, that's when the eyes start to flutter. That's the REM cycle.
Mm-hmm. That's the part when I get scared at. Well, you
know, and also when you're like dreaming, this is when like people have the most vivid and active dreams. So it's really, really important to have, you know, the deep and then the REM cycles. And I think that's the thing that a lot of people don't typically think about or like consider, because when you're drinking alcohol or you're taking drugs or prescription drugs for sleep, all these antihistamines, it's actually preventing you from getting those last 2 cycles of deep and REM. And those are the most important and most restorative to getting, you know, quality sleep.
Mm-hmm. No, I 100% agree with that, because if I ever get sick and I need to take like, you know,
like
I
guess NyQuil, some,
yeah, or like the NyQuil or something like that, right? It's like, I do fall asleep very quickly, but I never wake up refreshed. I wake up so groggy and like really foggy in the brain. So that's probably why that's happening.
Totally what it is. Mm-hmm. So you can take any of these antihistamines, whether it's NyQuil, Benadryl, ZQuil, and it'll basically knock you out for like 10, 12 hours, mm-hmm. but you're not getting those. It's actually preventing you from getting quality sleep. Mm. And that's why you're waking up feeling groggy, because you were like, you're, you know, in a lot of light sleep for a lot of the night, but you're not getting to those restorative sleep cycles.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the approaches that you have, or one of the thoughts that you have, is a little bit unconventional, and I would like to kind of talk to you about it, which is,
yeah,
you don't necessarily believe in like 8 hours of sleep, which is great because I don't get 8 hours of sleep. So hopefully you can support me a little bit here. You know, it's like, why is that? Like, why do you think 8 hours is always like the very like common number that is given as you need 8 hours of sleep for this and this and this, but you believe in something a little bit different?
Yes. And it's not that I'm against 8 hours of sleep. If you can get 8 hours of sleep, I am all for that. And if you can like work that into your schedule and like get then be very disciplined about that, I am all for that. I was never a person that could do that. And so when I read, you know, this is the, you know, standard recommendation for how much you can sleep, I felt it almost like gave me the opposite effect where I'm getting more anxiety because I feel like I'm not getting that amount of sleep. And so, you know, anxiety, stress is like, that's like the worst thing you can do for your overall sleep health. So making sure that you're not feeling anxious about the number of hours of sleep that you get, I think is really important to people who are trying to maximize that. And I think that a lot of people, you know, I talked to a lot of people who do take a NyQuil every night and like, you're not getting good sleep. So you're in bed for 8 hours, but then you're not getting the actual restorative sleep that your body needs, like we talked about. So I think it's much more important to, I'm big on sleep efficiency. Like there's been nights that I will take a NyQuil and I'm, you know, out for 10 hours, but I feel terrible. And I track things on my Fitbit and I see that I got barely any REM, barely any deep. And then there's times that I like have, you know, 6.5, 7 hours of sleep, but I'm getting a lot more REM and a lot more deep. And the next morning when I'm waking up, I'm feeling a lot more energized. So I think that that's the more important thing. I think that it's, you know, everyone should figure. And the other thing I'll say is, I think that it's very individual too, right? You know, some people like actually need more than 8 hours. They just, you know, your body chemistry and like, you know, how you interact, like it's important to get, you know, the amount of sleep that your body needs. And for some people, like they really just don't need 8 hours. So I think that it's very individual. And so I think each person needs to figure out what's optimal for them, but also prioritize the sleep efficiency, the fact that you're getting restorative sleep versus just like the number of hours that you're sleeping.
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes like I'll take not sometimes, it's every day, I'll take like a little quick little siesta during the daytime. And I notice the difference between, let's say, taking like a shorter nap compared to like, let's say, a longer nap, right? Like Sometimes like a 10-15 power nap and I feel like rejuvenated. I feel wide awake. And Other times, you know, like, you know, just if I'm a little bit lazy to get out of it, and if I have a little bit more time, like an hour and a half, and I just feel terrible. And I must be kind of hitting like getting closer and closer to like that deeper, I've always guessed, like a deeper sleep, that it's harder for me to kind of get out of it. Is that like, am I on the right track of thinking?
Absolutely. When you're in that deep cycle and then you wake up, it's almost like premature. So usually like you want to wake up at the end of the REM cycle, right? So going through these four stages and like completing the like cycle.
Mm-hmm. And is there a number that you can put on? I know, like, could you say like, you know, it takes 20 minutes or 30 minutes or like an hour to kind of hit different cycles, generally speaking?
Yeah, probably like an hour to 90 minutes. So it all depends, right? In the first cycle, that can be anywhere from like a few minutes, just like that, like transition. And then from light to the deep to REM, it's like an hour to 90 minutes each.
Mm, okay. You know, you talked about sleep being very like individual for people. And I've read that you mentioned like it depends on, it could, I mean, the factors are their gender, their weight, exercise, diet. Like, how have you found that all kind of plays into, you know, plays into someone finding out how much sleep they need?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's, again, I really do think it's very individual. So I, you know, we've interviewed so many, you know, customers, potential customers, and there are certain trends around types of people and their activity levels and all that kind of stuff. But like across, you know, gender, across diet and exercise, there's really a range. So I think it's really figuring out like what is optimal for the person. One thing that has stuck out over and over is that as people age, they're definitely getting less and less sleep. And so what people often don't realize is that, you know, quality of sleep is part of the aging process. So people just naturally are getting fewer hours of sleep, fewer hours of REM and deep sleep. And so that's one thing that, you know, we've seen over and over, but in terms of, you know, gender and everything else, you know, I think it's just really figuring out, what works for the individual. And I think a good test to like figure out what that is like, if you're going to sleep and like you're waking up without an alarm, like how much is enough for you to like wake up naturally?
Mm-hmm. I have found that doesn't work. I've done some live challenges here where I'm like, all right, I'm going to get up early in the morning and all that. But I, for the life of me, I can't. I'm not an early riser at all. And no matter what time that I go to sleep, and you know, I think I'm in the habit of, you know, I'm an entrepreneur myself, so it's yeah. kind of. Sometimes I'll lay down, and then as soon as I'm like ready to go to sleep, I'm just like, wait a minute, I got this amazing idea. Let me go and work on it, right? Like, let's go and do it. And then I get so excited, and then next thing you know, it's like 3 a.m.
And I think that so many people are like, the second they like lie in bed, their brain just starts racing, right? They're thinking about all the things that they want to do, all the things on their to-do list, all the things they want to do tomorrow, all the brand new ideas that they want to execute on. It's very, very common. I think one thing that I've found that works well is just figuring out, like, you know, something that's going to put you into a different perspective. So a lot of people use meditation. I do that sometimes. What I typically do is I'll like run through a gratitude checklist, so that it just, you know, shifts my perspective. It's very hard for me to think about my to-do list when I'm thinking about all the things that I'm grateful for, and that'll immediately shift my, you know, perspective, but also just allow my body to relax. My cortisol levels instantly decrease, and I'm just feeling a lot more relaxed.
Mm-hmm. Actually, do you think you could talk to us a little bit more about like what would happen when you don't get quality of sleep? And for me, like I kind of talked about my experience with my kids. With my first son, like the sleep quality was pretty decent, I'll say. Mm-hmm. But then with my daughter, I noticed it wasn't good at all. Like I honestly, she probably would sleep like maybe 2 hours a night until like, you know, she was 3 years old, you know, and nobody believed me. Yeah. She would just take like short naps here and there. Like we forced her to do it and she would do it. But I noticed that like I was gaining so much weight. And I was exercising just as much. I mean, this is part of what I do. I was eating even better. Yeah. But a friend of mine was saying like, maybe it has something to do with your stress levels that you feel stressed, but I don't feel stressed. And they're like, well, are you sleeping okay? I'm like, no, I'm not sleeping okay. So do you think that, do you know of any studies, or do you think that plays a part into it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, cortisol is the big stress hormone, right? So when you're not, so it causes you to not fall asleep, but also get quality sleep. So when we're talking about like the REM cycles and deep sleep cycles, if you're constantly in this heightened or like stressed out or high cortisol, you know, state, you're just not, your body is not getting rest. And as it relates to, you know, weight or, you know, weight gain or whatever it is, you know, how your body is regulating all of your whole system, but also like decision making around all these different things is really like, if you have a lack of sleep, you're like not able to like regulate all these things. And so it's really important. And that's why like the deep sleep, the REM sleep is like super important to have enough of that to be able to, you know, wake up the next morning and have like the proper regulation cycles.
You know, what about like, you know, I can't help sometimes I'll scroll through my social media stuff and you'll just kind of see like, you know, it's all about like the hustle. It's all about like wake up early, rise and shine, rise and grind and like all that stuff. So I can't help but think like I see that and I'm like, okay, you know what? I got to go to sleep at 3. And if I wake up at 7, 4 hours is enough. And then I can hustle away. And I feel this like at the end of it, like almost this ultimate guilt of you know what, I'm not getting good sleep, or I'm not getting early up early enough to get through my day. You know, that's an actual thing, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that it's, we're in this like go culture, right? Everybody wants to do more, all these things. And I think that it's a lot easier for people to like do something than to almost like take a step back and wind down. Which is necessary for sleep. And I think the other thing that you mentioned on, you know, getting up in the morning and then getting started on XYZ, I think everyone has this mentality that you start your day at 7 a.m., 6 a.m., whenever you wake up, and then you're like ready to go. You like take your vitamins, you take your protein shake, you like go for a workout, and then you're like ready to just hustle. I'd like to think about the start of your day actually at 10 or 11 p.m. or whenever you're actually getting ready for bed. And if you can like shift that perspective where, you know, that's actually the start of the day. So you really have to prioritize that first beginning of the day in order to get to maximize the waking hours once you do wake up, because the start of your day should actually start at your wind down, you know, the start of your wind down, because those 6, 7, 8 hours of sleep that you're getting initially, like that's the most important part to actually starting your day.
That's actually a very interesting way to look at it. I would never have thought to start my day at, when you said 10 p.m. I'm like, oh, I think she means 10 a.m. But as you're talking, like I get it too. Like that's a, you know, because I think especially now for me, I've noticed that the trend has been amongst my peers, amongst my clients, like to try to get up at 4 or 5 a.m. Like that seems to be like the new, like we'll say like the sexy time to like get up and like do stuff. And you know, this is when you can, I don't know, view the world in a different way.
Yeah.
But, you know, to kind of hear your thoughts, like, you know what, starting your day at 10 p.m. and going through some sort of routine. And could you share with us, you know, some tips on maybe some routines that will help people kind of wind down? Like I think things like going through like a gratitude checklist is a wonderful idea.
Yep. I mean, I can share what, you know, some of the things that I do, which is not that much. I mean, again, I think it's figuring out what works for people. You know, I'll go in the kitchen and make some herbs, rum rice drink, and, you know, make sure that I'm, you know, getting the herbs that are good for restorative sleep. And then I'll hang out with my husband and kind of wind down. And then I think that it's important for people to also figure out like their triggers, right? So, you know, is light something that you're sensitive to? If it is, make sure that you have a sleep mask. Is temperature something that you're sensitive to? If that's the case, you know, make sure that the room is an optimal temperature. And then that varies, right? So a lot of people run hot. And so you have to make sure that the room is a cooler temperature so that you're not, you know, sweating throughout the night. For myself, I run cold. So I wear sleep socks, which is super unsexy. But
Depends who you ask.
If I'm cold, I can't get to sleep. So it's really important that like my extremities are warm. And then I think it's really important once you're in bed. And of course, you know, I think that like, you know, electronics, like scroll, I do it too. Everybody scrolls through their phone, checks email one last time, but make sure that there is a period that like you're, you know, putting the electronics away. And I think that it's important to really have it in your mind to start your wind down process an hour before you actually want to get to sleep, right? I think that a lot of people think that they can, you know, shut off the lights and be out in 5 minutes. Like that's never the case. And especially in our culture, when we're constantly thinking about all these things, it's going to take a period to wind down. So really allocate about an hour to your wind down routine, whatever it is. And I think that once you're in bed, then figuring out some way to shift your perspective. So whether it's the gratitude journal or whether it's meditation or whether it's thinking about, you know, something that is just going to shift your perspective. So you're not thinking about, you know, all the things you need to do and what you need to accomplish, but really just be present and allow your body and mind to really relax so that you get it, you prime your body to get into this state of relaxation. And I think that all of these things, actually, it takes effort. And I think that's why I think it's important to think about, hey, this is the start of my day, because like we were talking about, for a lot of people now, it's harder to take a step back and wind down rather than like, I'm going to put more onto my checklist. I want to do X, Y, Z. So really taking the space to prioritize this routine. And then I think the last thing really is how you manage your stress during the day. So when you do wake up, all of that has, it will affect how you fall asleep and then your sleep quality. So making sure throughout the day to just be mindful of your stress levels and, you know, taking breaks throughout the day, whether it is to do a meditation or a gratitude journal or whatever it is, a few minutes here and there to just make sure that you're not, you know, spiking your cortisol levels and making sure that you're taking time to just manage your stress throughout the day as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm really just like in my mind, I'm thinking like, okay, I know I gotta do all these things, but I think the one point that really hits home and kind of going back to it is starting the day like at 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. Yeah. whenever you're about to get ready to sleep, because I think the mindset for many people, including myself, is my day's ended and now I just want to chill and relax. Yeah. And just turn off.
Yes.
Which in fact is not turning off at all, because you end up sitting on the couch. I'll watch TV or I'll play video games or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go to bed, and as soon as I close my eyes I think like, why did I watch TV? I could have done an hour or two of extra work. And then I'm like killing myself as I'm sleeping. So I think that is definitely one mental trick I think I'll start trying tonight.
I think that would be great, because I think that people put a lot of effort and are very, very thoughtful about their morning routine, right? They're like, they have it all planned out and, you know, thinking about all the things that they're going to do. And I think that like, it's just as important for the nighttime routine and really thinking about what that routine looks like. And I think that there's also a lot of fun that you can have with it, right? To, because a lot of it involves winding down, relaxing, everything else. So as you think about, you know, what's going to, help you wind down and get the most out of that, I think there could be a lot of, you know, fun versus like, it's just like, okay, I'm going to go hit the gym, I'm going to do this and that in the morning. But what can you do to help yourself relax?
No, it's true. And, you know, kind of if we can kind of shift a little bit to something that you mentioned, which is you run cold, you run on the colder side. I run on the hotter side now, which is great if I can cool down the room and all things like that. But I'll be honest with you, there's a Mrs. MC Kim that shares the bed with me, and she runs cold. So it's always this constant argument of like, no, we got to turn the heat on. I'm like, no, we got to turn the heat off. Like, to the point we use separate blankets. Like we have to, otherwise it's like we're at each other's throats over it, you know? And
I think that's very common.
Yeah.
I feel like I've noticed a lot of men run warm and a lot of women run colder.
Yeah. So, you know, it's, you talk about like little activities. I'll share a little activity that my wife and I do to, I guess, unintentionally fall asleep. Like, this helps her a lot, but, I read her, or not read her, but I will narrate like stories, like short stories for her. She'll always kind of like in bed, and she's, I don't know, she's fiddling around. She says she can't sleep, and she knows I can't sleep, but she's like, can you tell me a story? I'm like, all right.
Oh, I love so, that.
I tell her story, and next thing you know, she's like snoring. She's like asleep. I'm like, I'm just there by myself going, oh man, like what am I? Like, I've revved myself up with this story over here. What am I going to do? But it's...
you need to put on then a recording read you a story.
Yeah. You know what? I won't lie to you. I have done that. I was like, all right, you know, not recording my story, but my kids who my son especially, if he always tells me like, hey, dad, I can't go to sleep. Could you tell me a story? I'm like, all right, sure, one second. And I will pull out the Remix My Fitness podcast and I'll put it on. And I don't know if this is like, if I should take this as a good thing or bad thing. I come out and I come back in and give him some water. He's already asleep. So, but no, you know, you're mentioning activities that you can make it fun for you to go to sleep. And that is like, you know, I all kidding aside, that's something that me and her, we do. I wish I sometimes she would tell me some stories, but you know, in return the favor.
You should swap back and forth. One night you're telling the story, the next night she's reading the story.
We have tried. This is like the hot and cold situation again, right? Kind of like, hey, you know, hon, when did you tell me a story? And she'll always kind of just be like, but I don't know any stories. And you tell it way better. So just go and do your thing. Like, all right, fine. But you know, and
you bring up a really good tip, because I mean, I think that you know, telling a story or like listening to a story is a way to like kind of do the shifting of the perspective, like we talked about, right? So it's like focusing on the story instead of your to-do list. I think it's figuring out any way to shift your mind away from like the things that will stress you out, that will prevent you from falling asleep.
Mm-hmm. Unless, of course,
I think that's a great one.
Telling a story is stressful, you know. Coming up with new ones is hard. you know, I also want to you know, maybe touch on like the food portion, like the diet portion. Maybe you could shed a little bit of light, or maybe we can have like a nice little discussion about it, which is, for myself, my day finishes very late. So people are always shocked how late I eat dinner. I'll eat dinner like at 9 p.m. And that's just because I finish. Nobody wants because I know if I eat food, one, it's going to be a lot of food, right? Yeah. And then I'm going to be really lethargic, and nobody wants hey guys, come on, let's do push-ups. You know, they want somebody exciting, you know, and part of me keeping myself starving is like, I'm just like getting to the end of the line here. But, you know, I know that I for me, myself, like I make a point to make sure like I digest like 2 hours, 3 hours if I can push it. But have you noticed anything, or is any studies on, you know, maybe certain kinds of foods or when to eat or what not to eat? My mom always gives me a hard time, always, because she knows how late I eat, and she's like, you gotta eat dinner at 5 o'clock. And I'm like, who eats dinner at 5 o'clock? You know, unless they're going to sleep at 8 o'clock, you know, like. But, you know, if you shed a little bit of light on that, that'd be great.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that, yes. I mean, for the most part, I think it's good to, you know, allow your digestive system to work after dinner and make sure that everything is fully digested before trying to go to sleep. That being said, I mean, we've had a lot of customers write in, and we've done a lot of interviews where a lot of people, if they're too hungry before bed, that'll prevent them from falling asleep as well. So we've recommended, you know, having a small snack that's not going to, you know, create too much havoc, but it's going to just give you the amount that you need to be able to go to sleep, because I think a lot of people can't go to sleep hungry either. So again, I think that it's very individual. It depends on the person. And yes, I mean, if you're eating a huge meal and then trying to fall asleep right after, that's going to be more challenging. But, you know, usually try to, you know, eat at a reasonable hour, and then, you know, again, like figuring out like the wind down routine an hour before you falling asleep, but also like, you know, giving yourself enough time where it's you're going to have enough time to digest all the food before going to sleep. You know, I think there's definitely different foods that will help with sleep. You know, that's a lot of, you know, what has gone into, you know, creating our formulation, because, you know, we like to call it, you know, sleep food rather than sleep medication, because at the end of the day, it's taking a lot of these, you know, nutrients that are going to help with sleep. So, you know, one is tryptophan, right? The reason why after Thanksgiving, everyone is so sleepy, because you're having a ton of turkey, which is full of tryptophan, and that helps with like falling asleep. And then also, you know, putting yourself into these deeper, sleep cycles. You know, tart cherry is another one that's in our formulation, which is heavy in melatonin and serotonin, and supports, you know, deep sleep and falling asleep as well. So there's definitely a lot of, you know, foods that will help and aid in that process. You know, a lot of Chinese herbs, which we've, you know, continuously, look into and test. So I think that, there's a lot of, different ingredients, I think, that help with the sleep, you know, sleep cycle and whatnot, but also figuring out, you know, how much food is enough food, and then at what time is very individual. I think it's, you know, figuring out, you know, do you need a snack before sleep, or do you, you know, is it best to eat dinner and then, you know, be fully digested before going to sleep? I think it's, we've seen it both ways with a lot of the people that we've talked to.
You know, throughout your research that you've done, and I'm sure you've talked to so many customers, and you have quite a few people on board here with you who are trained to be able to kind of give you this information. For myself, I'm an easy sleeper. Like, you know, despite what I said, like, I fall asleep pretty easy, but I always feel tired all the time, you know. And I don't know if it's because I have an uneasy sleep pattern. Like, most nights I'll sleep maybe 3-4 hours, and then other nights I'll sleep like 13-14 hours, you know. And it's this constant cycle. And like anybody who probably maybe you know, maybe works for themselves, you know, you have an idea of like why this happens. But even if I can go back back when I was in high school, you know, it was always the same. I never felt like I got enough sleep ever. So, you know, I just end up sleeping more. But I hear that sleeping too much is also can also lead to other things like diabetes, high blood pressure. Yeah. Is this the right kind of idea of thinking?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think there's definitely like an optimal amount to sleep. But I mean, I think that like your body usually will tell you like how much sleep you need. So when you have like the 13 or 14 hours, is it after like not sleeping well for a few days? Because it usually will, you know, cycle, because your body will, you know, tell you you need a bit more sleep. Or, you know, if you've slept 13, 14 hours for several days, then your body will kind of regulate and tell you, hey, this is, you know, I can probably sleep a little bit less for a few days.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Usually it's like a, you know, I always kind of think like, oh, maybe this is like my body telling me to play catch up, you know, and, mm-hmm. you know, when I tell this to, you know, like health practitioners, they're just gonna be like, that's not a good thing. And I'm like, I know it's not a good thing, but
I think it's definitely good. As I was, you know, like studying all the sleep training for my baby, like I think it's definitely like great to have like a routine and you know, making sure that consistency across, you know, night after night and like about the same bedtimes, about the same like wake times, about the same like number of hours and whatnot. I mean, there is definitely benefit to having that consistency. That being said, I mean, yeah. We've interviewed a ton of people, you know, I've experienced this. I think there's just a natural, 3 to 4 hours to 13 to 14 hours does seem very, very wide, but there is this natural cycle where like, you know, if you're sleeping a little bit more a few days, you're then, you know, going to have a bit more energy to, and you're probably not going to sleep as much. And then once you're kind of dipping below that, right, then you're going to want to like almost like make up sleep. So we've seen this over and over where there's this natural wave. And I think that's why it's really hard to tell somebody like, you've got to get this number of hours, like 8 hours every night. Like it's got, and if you're not doing that, that's like, you're not like getting great sleep. Cause then people are like, well, but you know, what we've seen over and over is there's this natural wave. And so like people will just follow this. And so it's just, I think it's really like listening to your body in terms of like, you know, how much sleep do I need? If I'm waking up, you know, naturally, and I'm not feeling tired, I'm good. Right. And then if I'm like feeling like I need more sleep, like definitely do that.
Mm-hmm. Just one more question regarding like, I guess, the routine of maybe getting up or maybe falling asleep, which is, I know a lot of people will use, and including myself, those blackout curtains.
Yeah.
Right? Blackout curtains, or another trend I've noticed a lot is the alarm clock that has the, that, you know, kind of almost simulates a sunrise, because here in Canada, in Toronto, like it gets dark here. It's now dark by the time it's like 6 o'clock at night, and it is super dark at like 7 in the morning. So I've noticed that my kids are right now having a little bit of a harder time getting up because of that. Have you noticed, like, have you seen any studies or seen anything where it says it's beneficial to have those things or not to have those things, and just kind of let your body just naturally do what it does?
I think it's absolutely beneficial. Like I mentioned, I mean, I think there's a lot of people, it's important to figure out your like triggers. Like for me, light like doesn't affect me. It's crazy to say, but like I could like fall asleep in like sunlight and like, you know, extreme sunlight, and I'm totally fine. I've noticed like my baby is very, very sensitive to light. So like the second there's any light in the room, and this is why she's like a good sleeper at night, but during the day, like nap time is impossible for her because there's like more light. So I think it's just really important to figure out like what your triggers are. If you're sensitive to light, absolutely address it with like blackout curtains, you know, the sleep masks, and making sure that that's something that, you know, you're addressing with the routine that you're creating for yourself.
Hmm. If you can maybe just outline for us, like maybe the top 5 or 6 or 7 triggers that someone that you have found usually works. I mean, I think the obvious ones would be like light and maybe sound. Yeah. Is there any other ones that someone could check off the list, but like, oh, you know what, maybe this is a trigger, maybe that's a trigger?
Yeah. I mean, I think light for sure, right? Whether you're sensitive to light, whether you should have a sleep mask. Sound, you mentioned, that's a big one too, right? I mean, that's harder, but I mean, I think that like if you realize that you are sensitive to sound and you live in like New York City, like, you know, put in some earplugs, right? That's important to think through. Temperature. So whether you run hot or cold, or like, you know, what should the temperature of the room be? You know, what kind of like clothing should you wear? And I mean, mentioning clothing, I think that one thing that we've seen across a lot of people we've talked to is just, you know, the sheets, like the pillowcases, your pajamas, all of that makes a difference for some folks, because if you feel more comfortable in like certain pajamas and sheets and pillowcases, like that will make a difference. Yeah, I mean, I think those are the big ones. I mean, I think, you know, figuring out wind down routine and what you were talking about, right, with the food, like, do you need a snack before? Do you need to make sure your stomach is empty? And I think the last thing is really just like what you're intaking during the day. So like, you know, caffeine is a trigger for like, caffeine affects people very differently, right? So, I mean, some people can take a shot of espresso and fall asleep. And some people like myself, like if I have caffeine after 11 a.m., like I will be much more wired throughout the day and it'll be harder for me to fall asleep. So I try to have my last cup of caffeine, you know, around 10 a.m. Every day. And I think, you know, alcohol is another thing, right? So like how much alcohol, I mean, I think some people, like we've looked at some people's, you know, Fitbit tracker where, you know, you have like half a glass of wine and like your REM and deep just like fall off a cliff. For other people, right, you're like having like three glasses of wine like almost every day and it's still like it's not affecting it as much. So I mean, I think that like there are definitely general like sleep, you know, health habits that like, okay, no alcohol, like no caffeine, all these things. I mean, it's just not realistic. So I think it's really figuring out, you know, what's working for you and how different things are affecting you.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned alcohol and it's interesting because we, even now, I think we even use like alcohol, be like, oh, you know what, it, you know, having a little drink will help me fall asleep. But there is tons of studies out there that show like, yes, you fall asleep, but sometimes maybe not the best quality of sleep.
It absolutely will like knock you out. So it's very, very similar to the prescription sleep drugs or the antihistamines or NyQuil that we were talking about earlier. It prevents you from getting into the REM and deep cycles. So you're not getting the restorative sleep. It's also similar to like THC, something that, you know, a lot of people who use THC to fall asleep, it will knock you out as well. But it still has the same effect. So all of these like, you know, substances or drugs that like help with the knockout effect, there's a reason why it's like helping you knock out, right? Because it'll prevent you from getting, you know, other aspects that are really important to restorative sleep.
Hmm. You know, and because we're talking about, you know, we've talked about alcohol, we've talked about, you know, some over-the-counter drugs that you can get. I mean, this is a great time to talk about your company and what you guys do a little bit differently. One of the things that I read about REMRISE and how you got this started was actually really interesting. Was that you're this idea kind of came out because you whenever your mom would go and grab Chinese, you know, some Chinese herbs and medicine, I would imagine they probably came in the same kind of bag that we got it from, like just kind of brown paper bag or this like white paper bag, like here you go, right? And then you open it up and it's like in these like little parchment paper things and gross. You know, yes. Right? And it's like as a kid, I'm just thinking like, we're going to drink that. We got to eat that. Right. And like, that was kind of like one of your first trigger thoughts. Like, you know what? This does work. This does help. Yes. But this is not appealing to the eye. And like any food, like you, like no matter like how good the food is, if you go to a restaurant and they just kind of slop it on top of a plate, like you're going to think like you're going to have some thoughts and ideas about it. Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about REMRISE and how that all came to be.
Yeah, absolutely. But so just to start on that note, I mean, yes, my mom fed me all sorts of traditional Chinese medicine herbs all the time. And it, you know, just one thing I remember working really well was this herb called Bantlangeng, and it helps you with your immune system. And so the second we were like feeling sick, she would feed this to us and then I'd feel like much better. And when I compared it against to like emergency and vitamin C and all these different products, I was like, wow, this stuff actually works, like the herb worked a lot better. But as you're mentioning, it came from Chinatown in this like really weird packaging where I'm like, if I were to like introduce this to any of my friends, like there's no way they would take it. And so I had always felt like there was this opportunity to create, you know, a trusted brand around a lot of these Chinese herbs and making sure that it was sourced appropriately, packaged well, and there was education around all what the herb was and what it did. But to introduce everyone to what Remrise is, we like to call ourselves the good for you sleep aid. Where this really came from was, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I had tons of trouble sleeping, and I took Benadryl and NyQuil and all these antihistamines to try to fall asleep, and I would feel really terrible. And so I kind of went down the rabbit hole of just, you know, experimenting with all sorts of traditional Chinese medicine herbs. I would talk to my mom and her acupuncturist and really figure out what, you know, is good for sleep and also have other health benefits. And also researching different amino acids, vitamins, minerals that is helpful for sleep and restorative sleep. And so really found formulations that worked for myself. And as I was tracking, you know, through my own Fitbit, saw my REM and deep sleep increased by quite a bit. And then we worked with, you know, experts and different advisors to really create the right formulation. And also we've done a lot of studies around, you know, ingredient testing and testing a lot of combination of ingredients to kind of get to where we are now. But I think that the big thing that I really want to mention is that we see ourselves like sleep food and the good for you sleep aid, because I think that there's just so many negative side effects of traditional sleep aids. It prevents you from getting REM, it prevents you from getting deep, but there's been a lot of research and studies that have linked it to Alzheimer's, dementia, all these different very, very negative health consequences of taking these sleep aids. And the thing is, you know, these were never meant to be taken on a regular basis, but people have so much trouble sleeping these days that they're popping a lot of these NyQuils and Benadryls like candy. And then the other thing is we're melatonin free, which is probably quite different from a lot of natural sleep aids, because melatonin is probably the most widely recognized sleep supplement. But, you know, I didn't have a good reaction to it when we were interviewing and talking to a lot of folks. A lot of people have a lot of challenges around it. So melatonin helps you fall asleep. It doesn't help you stay asleep. So a lot of people are waking up prematurely. I would wake up after like 3 hours after taking it, and then I can't fall back asleep. And also you build tolerance to it really quickly. So, you know, by like day three, day four, I'm like taking 3x the recommended dosage. And also it still produces this like grogginess feeling the next morning. So a lot of people just felt like it's probably the best natural supplement at the time, but it really wasn't, you know, it still had all these side effects. And so we really want to create something that helps with falling asleep, helps you get into these deeper cycles, the deep sleep REM, but also have a lot of other health benefits. So it's really meant to nourish sleep, but also health overall.
Mm-hmm. And it's coming like a I was looking at it, but I, to be honest with you, I couldn't exactly tell if it was like, is it like a tea or like a pill form? That
we have two. We have a capsule form, so it's encapsulated, and then we have a powder form. And the powder form is for folks that need a heavier dosage, because a lot of the herbs that we use actually require, if you look into the Chinese medicine approach, a lot of it requires very large dosages to have an effect. And there's actually a cumulative effect as well. So it's really hard to encapsulate that much powder, because we're working with a lot of herbs that take up a lot of volume. So we can't encapsulate like the appropriate dosage into, you know, the right number of capsules, because we can't ask people to take like 20 or 30 capsules.
Right, right.
So for the folks that really need a bit more help with falling asleep, staying asleep, and, you know, better sleep in general, we recommend the powder form. So it's basically 5x the dosage of our capsules.
If I were to get started with this, like I come to you and I say, hey, Veronica, I'm having some trouble sleeping. Do I just start kind of taking the pill form right away in the recommended dosage, or is there like a process to this?
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's definitely a cumulative effect with all the Chinese herbs in traditional Chinese medicine. Like all these different herbs are meant to be taken over a period of time. But yes, whether it's the capsules or the powder, can start taking it right away. And then adjust, you know, the dosage accordingly over time. And I think that the other big thing really is to figure out, you know, something we've been talking about this, you know, this whole time around figuring out a routine, because I think that like there really is like just the same thing as with like diet and exercise and any like pillar of health. There's no like, you know, magic bullet or silver bullet that is going to like just, you know, fix everything. And if it does, like a drug that makes you knock out, like there's all sorts of negative side effects of that, right? So start with taking, you know, these vitamins and these herbs, and also figuring out like a wind down routine that's going to work for you and is sustainable, I think is really important as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. So if you want to start on the REMRISE program, you can always visit remrise.com. That's REMRISE.com. And Veronica has been kind enough to give the Remix My Fitness listeners in the States, hopefully in Canada soon, maybe, to give like a little discount. And if you go and make your purchase, it goes to, if you put in the code REMIX15, REMIX15, you get 15% off. And they're going to have a nice little extra discount coming up on Black Friday, another holiday that that our neighbors down south get to have. Or is that a holiday? That's not a holiday for you guys, is it? Black Friday?
Thanksgiving. It falls
around that time. All right. See, I'm learning something, always on the go here. Veronica, it is tradition for us here on the podcast to give the guests the last word. Is there any advice, lasting tips, something that you want to mention to the listeners out there regarding sleep?
I think it's just making sure to prioritize sleep. I think that it's usually, I believe it's really, really foundational and probably the most foundational thing to overall health and wellness. Yet it's the first thing that people deprioritize, and people are prioritizing all other aspects of health, but sleep always seems to fall off that priority list. So I would just encourage people to really think about prioritizing it and think about starting your day at your wind down routine and figuring out something that will work for you there.
Mm-hmm. So you heard it here from Veronica. That's a tip that I'm going to take with me starting tonight and start thinking about like, all right, this is the start of my day. How do I want to start it? Probably with a good night's worth of sleep.
Yeah,
I'll let you know how that goes. Make sure none of my kids come in and wake me up during that time, because that could be a bad start to my day. So thanks for coming on to the show, Veronica.
Thanks so much. This was so much fun.
All right, everybody. That is a wrap for another episode of the Remix My Fitness podcast. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. I hope you got something really good out of it. For me, as I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, I am using Veronica's tip to start your day actually at nighttime. So taking a few moments for myself at night, at 10, like 10 p.m., 11 p.m., and kind of just planning out my day the next day and planning out, you know, how I'm going to get ready for sleep. I haven't quite just yet convinced Mrs. MC Kim to read me any bedtime stories, but hopefully soon, hopefully I can get her to change her mind. So that's a wrap, everybody. Hopefully you guys have a good one, and I will see you, or I guess I'll be in your ears next week. All right. So until next time, don't forget to set some goals, challenge yourself, and of course, make this fitness thing fun for yourself. All right. Peace.